Good morning. Last lesson of the quarter, Book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. And lest I forget, I want to thank the elders and the congregation for the opportunity to teach through the Book of Mark and this very good book from Gospel Advocate, our study guide. Haven't studied a whole lot in Mark. Usually it's a comparative. Usually I run to Matthew or John. And this has been very beneficial for me, and I hope it has been for you as well. And we will continue to study Mark in our private time and in our Bible study time. If everybody's wondering about the books for next quarter, Brother Mark Day, not Mark we're reading about, okay, not the book of Mark, Mark Day, is going to pass out the books toward the end of class. So everybody will have the opportunity to look over the lesson for next week. It is the book of Judges, is that right? Book of Judges. So we're going back to the Old Testament. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, our lesson text. This is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have seen his death, his crucifixion, his burial, and now we're going to read of his resurrection. Let's read our lesson text. In your book, the text is on page 149, and then the lesson proper begins on page 150. Mark 16, verse 1, the Bible says, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they lay him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. After this, if you read on and study on in the other accounts, Jesus will rebuke them for their unbelief. Had Jesus told them that he would be raised from the dead? Yes. Yes. But they didn't get it. All right? Last week I made a statement, and I just wanted to expand on that a little bit in connection with this. I do believe that in a certain sense, the Jews believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They used that term synonymously with Messiah. Did they understand truly and actually and factually who the Messiah would be, what he would do? They missed it, right? Well, the times we see that the statement is made, thou art the Son of God. And we see that in several passages of Scripture. Peter will make that statement in Matthew chapter 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did he believe that Jesus was going to die? That he'd come to set up a spiritual kingdom? That he was going to die for the sins of the world? Well, then why did he swarp at Malchus with the sword, thinking the insurrection had begun? When Jesus died, why was he so despondent? Why were all the disciples? Why would Mary and the other women come to anoint him? He'd said he was going to be raised the third day. That's what the Messiah, the Son of God, would do. They missed it. You know, turn on your clicker. Yes. Right, right. Why would they not believe that he could raise himself? And actually, it was God that raised him. But why would that be such a strange thing? Because they had read in the Old Testament those that had been raised from the dead by Elijah and Elisha, if I remember correctly. They had seen Jesus raise others from the dead. Why would it be such a strange thing that he would rise from the dead, yet he would rise from the dead to die no more? But you remember, I made a statement about Nathanael, like John 1:49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He's using that in connection with the Messiah. The Messiah they thought the Messiah would be the Son of God. Don't believe they understood that he was deity, and I'll touch on that just briefly here in a moment. So what he said here is truth. He just don't understand the depth of what he's saying here. You remember Mary, Martha, the sister of Lazarus, will tell Jesus in John 11, verse 27, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She's using those two terms synonymously. Where would they get the idea that the Messiah would be the Son of God? Well, in Psalm chapter 2. You remember in the psalmist in Psalm chapter 2, verse 2 through 7, says, The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Speaking of the Christ. Say, who's this making reference to? The Messiah, right? I ain't got it on the PowerPoint, but the reading on it says, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. How would they interpret that, Roman Empire? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He's going to be a king. Thou art the king of Israel. The Messiah will be a king. And then verse 7, I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Well, he's going to be the Son of God. Now, you remember on the road to Emmaus, we're not going to get to talk about that. When Jesus appeared to them on the road of Emmaus, they know that he's been killed, they know he's been crucified, and they're going to say, he was a prophet of Israel, a prophet of God, and we thought he would redeem Israel. They didn't realize that he is deity in the flesh. Jesus has tried to show them and tried to tell them. He has made the statement that he is the Son of God. You remember even the Sanhedrin recognized that when Jesus is standing before them in trial, Luke 22, verses 70 and 71, the last two verses. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. He's affirming that he is. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. So many of us think, well, he's going to condemn, he's going to be condemned for being claiming to be a deity. Sometimes they recognized he was making a claim of equality with God, of deity. Sometimes they missed it. Now notice this, the very next chapter, the chapter break is very unfortunate. Very next chapter. After he says that, and the whole multitude of them arose, led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself, Christ, is a king. What did he just say? He affirmed that he was the Son of God. But how did the Sanhedrin understand that? That he's the Christ and he's the king. And Pilate will ask him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, Thou sayest it. They thought it was going to be a physical kingdom. Jesus came to set up a spiritual kingdom. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. They had no idea he was going to die, the Jews. Be it far from thee. Remember, Peter will rebuke Jesus because he said that he's going to die and be raised 3 days. He's going to suffer many things of the Pharisees and of the Jews and so forth. They missed it. How can you correct this error? We're going to see that in the resurrection from the dead. He's going to be raised to die no more, a sign of deity. That's what Paul would write about in Romans 1, 3, and 4, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, Son of Man, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How, Paul? By the resurrection from the dead. That affirmed his deity. They recognized that, they did not recognize that he was deity, the Messiah would be deity. In Matthew, and the chapter escapes me, I didn't put it here, Jesus asked him, he says, Who do you say that the Son of Man am? Is he the son of David? And the Jews say, Yes. Jesus sort of like, Yeah, that's right. But how come the Lord says unto my Lord, how come the psalmist said, the Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemy my footstool? why does David call him Lord? He's pointing, he's trying to get them to recognize that he's deity. They recognized he would be human. They didn't recognize he would be deity in the flesh. They missed it. See, we've got the fuller picture now. We have to put ourselves, what was it, W.B. West said in commenting on the book of Revelation, we need to look oftentimes with first century glasses at the things that are being taught. So, what are we going to see? This is going to be the resurrection of Christ. This is going to prove that he is deity. He is more than merely human. And when the angel will tell the women he is risen, that is a declaration that if it is false, then Christianity is false. Christianity is of no value and is doomed, and its followers are doomed. So, what do we see here? Chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, the women to the tomb. And when the Sabbath was over, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices, that is aromatic spices, perfumed spices, that they might come and anoint him. Why would they do that if they thought he was going to be raised from the dead? Had Jesus said he would be raised after 3 days? Yes. It's the first day of the week. It's the third day. It's what they on the road to Emmaus said. The Bible says in Luke 24, this was the first day of the week. And as Jesus is talking to those on the same day, they're telling him about Jesus because it was a miraculous act. It was withholding from them to recognize him, that is put under strength, right? That they wouldn't allow initially to recognize who Jesus was. And they said, today is the third day since these things occurred. So here are the women coming to the sepulcher. They should have known he'd have been raised. They shouldn't have come with spices to anoint his body. They should have come expecting to see the risen Lord, but they didn't get it. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, verse 2, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. John's account in John 20, verse 1, says that it was still dark. Many will see that as a contradiction. Those that want to cast doubt on the inspiration of the Scriptures. It's easily explained. John records the beginning of the journey while it was still dark. When they arrived, it was at the rising of the sun. Now, exactly how long the trip was and when, but that's an easy explanation of what's being said there. Matthew will say, Luke said very early, I think Matthew said it was very early in the morning. When was that? When was it the rising of the sun? The Sabbath had ended the day before. Remember, Jews counted they counted the days from sunset to sunset, not like we count. So the Sabbath had ended, the first day of the week had began the previous evening. So the Sabbath being passed ended at 6 o'clock that evening, actually on what we would call Saturday. And this is the first day of the week. The day began to dawn on the first day of the week. Verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. That phrase very great is a superlative, emphatic. Okay? It was great exceedingly. Could this have rolled away of its own accord? No. Some estimate that those stones were something like, it would take some force to move it, so it couldn't have rolled away on its own. They put these stones over the sepulcher to keep animals out, right? Because the tradition, what they would do is they had, in these sepulchers, they had benches, as it were. And when someone died, they were prepared with the spices and the herbs and the aromatic things that they would use. And they would lay them on one of these benches. They would lay them out. And they would roll the stone over the entrance of the tomb. They would lay there for a year. A year later, they would come, move the stone, and go in. Now, all that is left there are bones. And they would take those bones and they would put them in what was called an ossuary, a bone box. Do you remember a great hoopla several years ago about a bone box that's supposed to have said, what was it? It said, Jesus, the son of Joseph. And they said, we have found the bones of Jesus. Ain't nary bones to be found. He was gone after 3 days. He surely didn't lay there for a year to decompose through natural processes. His body would not see corruption. So after 3 days, he was arisen. Again, casting doubt on Christianity, all the rest of it. So there was actually two burials. There was the initial burial, and then a year later, there was another burial where the family would come, gather the bones, and put it in an ossuary, a bone box. So, and this great stone was there. And some say it could have weighed as much as 4 tons. That's an example of one, probably a little later than the first century. But, and this would have been, okay, there we go. This would have been rolled over the entrance of the tomb. Bobby, thank you for being patient. Yeah, and you remember in, I think it's Matthew's account, they recognized that he said he'd be raised from the third, you know, on the third day. Many did, because what did that deceiver say? They said. They went to Pilate. That deceiver said that he would raise again after 3 days unless his disciples come and steal the body. We want to make it sure. And Pilate said, make it as sure as you can. So there was a seal. Remember, a seal is something visible, something you can see. It's not something that is not tangible, all right? If we're sealed with something, or if something is sealed, it is a visible manifestation. That's helpful in properly interpreting other passages of Scripture. It talks about being sealed. It was a visible seal, something that they could see and check and make sure it wasn't tampered with. It was objective. It wasn't subjective. So, between what you're describing, the weight of this stone, the fact that it was sealed, the fact that it was so heavy it couldn't roll accidentally. Matthew's account says there was a very great earthquake. Basically, an angel had moved it. So, again, they're surprised. And this has been pointed out. Was the stone rolled away so that Christ could get out? No, why was it rolled away? So they could get in. And they could see it was empty. Witnesses and have testimony, okay, that the Lord had arisen. And then two of the apostles are going to run there in another account. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with long white garment, and they were affrighted. The angel's announcement, verses 6 through 8. Young man. Luke and John speaks that there were two men. Mark and Matthew only mention the one, probably because this is the spokesperson. There's no contradiction. They didn't say there was only one. They said there was one. Does it mean there wasn't more than one? You know, if you read the account in regard to Mary Magdalene, it says that Jesus appeared first unto her. Actually, it's going to be here in just a few verses. If you read a parallel account, I think it's in John, it says when Jesus had appeared to them. It's more than just Mary. But Mary, because that was the main conversation, is the one that's recorded. It's mainly pointed out here because that was the main conversation. Anyway. And Matthew and John describe him as an angel or angels, the plural, since there were two of them. And that bright clothing, that long white garment, when you get to Acts chapter 1, when it said that there were two men standing by as Jesus ascended. There's the apostles seeing him ascend, and he's taken out, of sight by a cloud, and two men in bright clothing, it said. For them, they're angels. They're angels. So there's an angel here, and they're frightened, and he said, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen." The foundational, the fundamental truth of the gospel. If this is not true, everything else falls apart. We are of all people most miserable. He died. Indeed, he did. But he didn't stay dead, just as he promised that he would. Had Jesus promised that he would raise after 3 days? Yes. And he did. And he says, "He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." There are some people will say, "Well, they actually went to the wrong tomb." They saw where Jesus was buried. Remember, they saw him die. They saw him placed in the sepulcher, saw him buried. And these same women saw the place he was buried. So we have an angel affirming this is where he was buried. We have the women that would not have been mistaken about that. So this is proof that he had been resurrected. But he says, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you." Go and tell his disciples and Peter. Why do you think "and Peter"? Probably despondent. Look back a couple pages in your Bible, chapter 14. We did not cover this, but Mark chapter 14, verse 27. Well, 26, let's start there. "When they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Okay? This is after the institution of the Lord's Supper. "Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." He's affirming that, one, he's going to meet him in Galilee. Number two, more importantly, what? He's going to die, and he's going to what? Going to be raised. All right? This wasn't the only time he'd mentioned that. "Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will I not." I'm ready, Lord. Follow you to the grave. "Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Did Peter deny him? Yes. Very despondent. Okay? From that highest peak of the mountain of faithfulness, it didn't work out the way he thought. He thought there was going to be an insurrection. He thought they were going to break the bonds of the Romans. Psalm 2. He would be an earthly king. Something's fell apart. Something's not right. They've arrested him. They've taken him into custody. All the disciples fled. Why? Well, he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. But it's not working the way they thought it was supposed to go down. But that is exactly the way it was supposed to go down. It was in the eternal purpose of God. So Peter would definitely need some encouragement to know that the Lord is alive, lest he be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. "And that he goeth before you into Galilee, as he said unto you." Jesus had promised he would raise from the dead. He promised that. Did it happen? Yes. He promised that he would go and meet them in Galilee. Did it ultimately happen? It did. Now this evening, he will appear to them, the 11, in a closed room. Some people have asked, why would Jesus appear to them in a closed room that evening and yet send the women to say, "I'll meet you in Galilee"? Because that was after that. They didn't believe that he'd risen. Mary Magdalene didn't believe it. The disciples didn't believe it. Those on the road to Emmaus initially didn't believe it. Nobody believed it. If you didn't believe that I was going to be somewhere, that you thought I had died and I was supposed to meet you at fill in the blank. Going to meet you at, I like pizza. Let's say I was going to meet you at a pizza place, but some before that time I died. Would you meet me there? No. Why? Well, you didn't expect I'd be there. And they're not believing the testimony of the women and the others that are saying, so Jesus has to appear to them to show them that's the reason that this happened. It wasn't a pointless instruction to the women. They didn't believe. And though Jesus had told them and his promises had been fulfilled and the witnesses will tell them and they didn't believe. So he will appear to them this evening. That's in another account that's not part of this one directly. But Jesus' promises are certain. I will meet you in Galilee. So certain was that promise that the most vile enemy of mankind, death, would not cause Jesus to break that promise. Because we saw that back in chapter 14, verses 27 and following. He said in verse 28, he says, I will go before you into Galilee. Even death wouldn't cause Jesus to break his word, to break his promise. How certain can we be in the promises of God in regard to us, brothers and sisters? 100%. 1,000%. Googleplexy percent. However you want to say it. Yes, it is absolutely certain. Verse 8. And he went out, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher. For they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They were left speechless. Again, not expecting Jesus to have been raised from the dead. Then in verses 9 through 13, Jesus' early appearances. Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. If you read that account, John chapter 20, she will see Jesus. She will mistake him for the gardener. Initially, she won't recognize him. Possibly, I wouldn't be dogmatic about this, possibly it was holding from her to recognize him like it was on the two to the road of Emmaus, to Emmaus. But she will expect, she thinks it's the gardener, and what does, she just had the angel tell him he is risen. I tell her, he is risen. He's not here. Behold where he lay. What does she tell Jesus? Tell me where they've taken him. They have taken my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. He was raised from the dead. They didn't take him. She didn't believe initially either. They couldn't get by this preconception that they had of what the Messiah would do, the Son of God, who he would be, what he would do, how he would behave, what his mission would be. Missed it. Even when an angel had told her that, she still. And then Jesus will speak to her, and she'll say, Master. And then she will cling to him because the King James says, touch me not. Literally, that means stop clinging to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. I'm not leaving just yet, he's saying. No need to keep clinging to me. But go and tell my disciples. Then she gets it. And when she had went and told them that had been with him after the account with Jesus in John 20, as they mourned and wept, this is the only place here where we get a full indication of the emotional state of the disciples after the death of Jesus. They mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, Mary Magdalene, believed not. One person said this, that word believed not, that phrase, remember there are different tenses in the Greek language. And that's in the aorist tense. Aorist tense is point action, okay? But when it says, believe not, that point action, this person said, it signifies a sudden decision. Wait a minute, see if I got... Yeah, it signifies a sudden, decisive rejection of Mary's testimony. I must have had one before that. Wouldn't believe Mary. Didn't expect it. Totally unprepared, even though Jesus had told them he would be raised from the dead. and they rejected the testimony of Mary. So Mary didn't initially believe. The apostles and disciples initially didn't believe. Then in verse 12, got to move on. And verse 12 it says, after he appeared in another form unto two of them, this is those on the road to Emmaus, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. After he appeared in another form. Now, in Luke's account, which is where you find this, it says that Jesus was, basically it was holding from him. To you put under strength, to hold back, right? So they didn't recognize Jesus because initially they weren't permitted to, essentially. And they will talk with Jesus, and then they will finally, evidently not be holding anymore, they will recognize him. When he gives thanks for the food, they will recognize who it is, and he will vanish from their sight. But when it says there that he appeared in another form, I'm unsure if it is another physical or another visible manifestation. I'm unsure if that's the case, because why would you do that if it says that it was holding from them to recognize him? They didn't recognize him. They were prevented from recognizing him. Well, why have him in a different form if that was being done for that purpose? When it says another form, I think it's very likely that the idea is here they mistake him for just another traveler. Who did Mary Magdalene mistake him for? A gardener. Who will the apostles mistake him? Or what will the apostles mistake him for when he appears in the sealed room? Just a spirit. That's after this. So on the road to Emmaus, they just think he's another traveler, another form, right? I don't think it's another physical manifestation. There's some that disagree with that, and that's fine too. Everyone has a right to be wrong. As they walked into the country, but now here's what I want you to see. That was tongue-in-cheek, by the way. Here's what I want you to see. Neither believed they them. Nobody's getting it. Nobody is understanding what's going on here. No one is. No one is remembering what Jesus had said. I'm going to end this section with this. On page 156, and I had other places I meant to quote, but got on a roll. Talking about Mary's announcement. Rejection. It says, regarding the rejection of Mary's announcement, Wayne Jackson wrote, note two important facts. One, the disciples were mourning and weeping. They did not anticipate a resurrection. Number two, when they were told of the amazing event, they did not believe. This is clear evidence that the resurrection story was not invented by early disciples. They initially resisted it. That applies to Mary's testimony. That applies to the men on the road to Emmaus. Their testimony, the apostles originally didn't believe it. It wasn't something that was, you know, concocted that, you know, if you watch some of these programs on TV, they'll make it like Jesus was an insurrectionist and he was trying to start a political revolt. That was his mission. And somehow it turned belly up and didn't work out the way they anticipated, and that he was mistakenly, accidentally, whoopsie, he was put on a cross, and that wasn't the intent from the beginning. Delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter will preach on the day of Pentecost. God knew it was going to happen. Jesus knew it was going to happen. People still had free will, even though it was predestined, it was foreordained, right? There are things in groups and so forth that are, there is predestination, not individual, to be lost and saved, that nothing you can do to change that. But God had determined, Brother Wayne Jackson described it like this. He said, it's as if it were that the heavenly council, the Godhead, came together, and the Father said, one of us must die for the sin of mankind, and the eternal Word raised his hand and said, I will go. Bit poetic, I think. And I don't think that's exactly the way it happened, but did the Father send the eternal Word? Yes. Did the eternal Word become Christ, become Jesus in the incarnation, willingly come and die for our sins? Yes. And then by his resurrection, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by his resurrection of the dead, from the dead. He wasn't just a mere human. That's what I want us to take away from this. Okay? And they initially did not believe. Brothers and sisters, when we read the testimony of the inspired writers, in whatever capacity it may be, let us, with believing hearts, study God's Word, and let us believe, love, and obey the Lord in whatever He says through His inspired Word. Let me get to the questions so Brother Mark can pass out the books. No, he's not about ready to pass out. He's going to pass out the books. I shouldn't have put that pause in there. Number one, when did the women come to Jesus' tomb? Early on the first day of the week. That's the reason we remember the Lord's death every first day of the week. He is risen. What do we remember in the Lord's Supper? His death and his resurrection and his coming again. Most folks only do this one time a year. Certain holiday getting ready to come next month, which is good for bunnies and eggs and candy, which I ain't supposed to have, by the way. But to celebrate that as a religious holiday one time a year, you are missing 51 other occasions that we are supposed to remember the Lord's death. The disciples came together upon the first day of the week. That implies every first day of the week. They came together to break bread. Remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, and coming again. Number two, what did the women intend to do to the body of Jesus? Anoint him, and missed it. They didn't realize he was going to be raised. Number three, what did they find when they arrived? Yes, there was a vacancy sign out front. He was risen, and it was an empty tomb. Who was seated inside Jesus' tomb? Number four. Sorry. Angel. Mark records two angels, when you get the full story from the other accounts. Number five, what were the women told to do? Go and tell the disciples. Oops, number six, to whom did Jesus appear first after his resurrection? Mary Magdalene. Women, a woman through transgression fell. Adam went along with it. Transgressing God's law entered the world. And it's wonderful that the Lord gave a woman the opportunity to go and tell the disciples he is risen. She wasn't a preacher. Some people try and use that to say she's a preacher. She ain't a preacher. She ain't a preacher. And that's not what she's doing. She's just telling what the Lord had said. See, that doesn't give credence to having women preachers today. So that's a misapplication of that passage. Don't get me started. Number seven, how did the disciples react to the news of Jesus' resurrection? Didn't believe. Discussion question, how does Mark's emphasis on the women coming to the tomb strengthen the case for the resurrection? Yeah, they didn't want to believe women. Yeah, especially Romans. The Romans especially were not ones to believe women and their testimony. Why is the resurrection of Jesus so important to Christianity? Without it what? Without it, it's meaningless. Yeah. It's upon which Christianity is built, of a resurrected Savior. The only religion that is built upon that truth of a resurrected Savior. I used to hear one preacher say all the time, Muhammad is dead. Okay? The founder of the other world religions are dead. Christianity is built upon the resurrection and continued life, living of the Messiah. Why do you think the disciples had a hard time accepting Jesus' resurrection? I thought two words immediately. Yeah, preconceived ideas. Preconceived ideas. Brothers and sisters, let us never go to the Bible as much as we can. Sometimes it's hard to not do this, but never go to the Bible to study God's Word with preconceived ideas. This is bound to be in there, and I'm going to find it. Surely it says cleanliness is next to godliness somewhere in there. And so we don't want to go to the Bible with any kind of preconceived ideas. And what can we learn from this? I think that, unless someone has a different answer. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time we've had to study your word, and I'm especially thankful, Lord, for this quarter that I can lead everyone's thoughts and that I could grow in the knowledge of your word and everyone could grow in the knowledge of your word. And Lord, we are thankful for this revelation of your mind and will. May we continue to be diligent students throughout our days. May we every day seek to increase in grace and knowledge and learn that Old Jerusalem gospel, and what we learn, Lord, may we pass it on to others and teach others, Lord, the message of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for everyone that's here. May we ever be faithful servants throughout all of our days, and this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.